Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf. We got Tyler Rucker, Corey Tolliva, Albert Gim. We're live at Summer League. And fellas, one day in, getting ready to watch day two, but let's talk about day one. Obviously, the big highlight, number one pick, A.J. DeBonso for the Washington Wizards versus number two pick, Darren Peterson for the Utah Jazz. Albert, what was just your kind of big picture takeaway from that matchup?
Yeah, I think Darren Peterson likes to foul. And
that was your main takeaway. Just for context, 9 fouls for Darren Peterson yesterday.
He almost fouled out.
Yeah, in Summer League.
Which he almost had the terrifying double-double that you can only get at Summer League. But no, he looked great athletically. I thought he looked great. Looked really fluid, smooth, comfortable. The touch on the floater was beautiful. Wish he hit a couple more jumpers, but it's okay. And to his credit, Washington threw all the dogs on him. Watkins, Beekman, they're throwing all the guys that make his life difficult. I thought he persevered and had a pretty solid game. And if he continues to play in Summer League, we might see some more exciting performances from him.
What about you, Cor?
I mean, he was, I thought, really impressive. I think for me, just having gotten a chance to see him in person in high school, and then I didn't see him throughout the college year in person, but he was moving to me similarly to how I thought he was moving.
It seems like he kind of has like that glide back.
Yeah. Now, you know, I do think that, you know, Ace Bailey didn't play in the game.
Yep.
Really, his only help yesterday was Cody Williams. Like, there was no Walter Clayton. And I thought he was good. I mean, Cody still has trouble kind of beating guys with his burst.
Yeah.
So he does have to kind of settle for a lot of long mid-range shots. But he is stronger now, so he could at least put a shoulder in, create a little bit of space, and get that shot off. I thought he's been good the entirety of Summer League.
Nice,
you know, and he had a couple of really nice left-handed live dribble passes. But he was the only other like NBA talent on that Jazz team. So similar to DP's time in Kentucky, he was getting two to the ball every time he had it. So he did have to kind of settle for a lot of tough shots. But he also made a few really impressive tough shots. So it's like, it was kind of everything that we knew and expected. I thought his passing was a little weak today. Like the game before in the Salt Lake City Summer League, he had 12 assists where he looked a lot freer, where I think he had more talent than Ace. Like, that played a part. Like I thought his, dating back to high school, for me, the biggest problem with Darren and why I never believed he was a point guard is because of the accuracy of his passes. He just doesn't put it in the shooter's pocket like a natural point guard would. But I thought he was really good. He was gliding. He was getting to his spots. You know, sometimes I think he falls in love with that little like floater instead of getting all the way to the hoop. That's what I want to see him develop. But I think for me, the part of this story that I think is interesting is that like this is the first game that A.J. DeBonso has outplayed him in a while. I thought he outplayed Darren because the narrative with AJ versus Darren is always, well, Darren's outplayed him every time they've stepped on the floor together. And you know, I thought AJ got the better of him. I thought AJ was pretty phenomenal yesterday. It's just like, you cannot keep him from getting to the rim. You have to foul him.
Yeah.
And he struggled with his shot.
Yeah,
he left everything short.
Left everything short, whether it's mid-range from outside, 0-5 from three. Like, you guys got to see him out in California pre-draft. Really big point of emphasis was, hey, get that arc on the shot. And we saw at the combine where he would have, like, 5-6 in a row, perfect arc. They look gorgeous. They were, you know, nothing but net, and then shoot a flat one, and you would see him get frustrated, mentally reset, and go back to what he was doing. And I feel like yesterday, it didn't feel like it was super flat, but he's leaving everything short.
It was short.
Leaving everything short.
Yeah, it wasn't flat. It was just short. But I think that is why AJ's so scary.
Yeah.
Because like he has this very glaring improvement area that is not like something that's an outrageous thing for him to improve. Like he's an adequate shooter, but he could still be incredibly efficient on nights where his shot from outside isn't falling.
Right.
Because he just gets to the line at will. He's too big, he's too strong, he's too athletic for these guys, and he's 19. So, like, at 25, I mean, we just watched Tatum warm up Rucker. He's practicing down on the court, you know, before the Summer League games, and it's like, think of Tatum when he came out of Duke and what he looks like now. You were like, he looks like a monster. He's gigantic. Yeah.
It's the one guy I think with AJ that I was like, that reminds me his downhill intention. And look, he's going to be able to get to the lane whenever he wants. And I think that's why it was such like when Wizards fans were like, did we take the right guy after the first two? It's like, yes, you did, because of that showing and how quickly he's going to build real estate at the free throw line. But there is a lot of JT in his game. And I think the shot, it's still flat. It is so much better than when we saw it, you know, 2 or 3 years ago at Hoop Summit. I think it's trending in the right direction. If that comes around, everybody run for your lives. But
Metcalf, what did you think of AJ's defense yesterday?
I mean, it's really tough to like actually gauge it because he didn't have really anyone to guard.
Sure.
So, like, he didn't get in foul trouble. He had like, I think, 2 steals, 1 block, or 2 blocks, 1 steal, something like that.
He had a couple of nice
blocks.
Yeah.
It's fine. I wish we would have seen a little more for like, going back to the offensive side, a little more of the playmaking from him.
Yeah.
Just like using his scoring gravity to find guys like Will Riley, find guys like Trey Johnson, Felix Okpara at the rim.
But he just kept getting the free throw line.
Yeah. Like, he had the equivalency of 16 free throws yesterday.
Because
like,
for Summer League this year, they're experimenting with a
one shot for 2 points
or 1 shot for 3 points if you get fouled from the 3-point line.
And you're which
I hate
the line.
I hate it too. I like it for the G League.
I hate it for the ways to improve the
Don't want to
ruin this. This is perfect. Just keep it the way it is.
But yeah, so like, he did have a couple of assists. The passing was what it was.
Yeah,
he's not a natural playmaker. He has good vision, but it's not his first instinct.
Right. But we saw it grow a ton throughout.
Yes. Like, if you look at him as a playmaker versus like Michael Beasley, who is, I guess, the last great freshman wings score.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was over 25 points per game.
Yeah.
Like AJ, night and day.
Yeah.
What that looked like. Yeah. Like, AJ will find guys. He's very capable of making high level reads. But for me, as that develops, I'd rather him focus defensively first and become a two-way stud.
Yeah, because they don't need him to be like a primary heliocentric creator. They have Trey Young as a playmaker. Which, they have Keyshawn George.
Albert and I want to give Trey Young his props. Because Albert and I were down on the floor and Trey was there. And he like brushed up against me and we were like kind of like shoulder to shoulder for a little bit. And even though I'm 6'6", no, I was like, man, Trey's only got like 2.5 inches on me. I'm wearing Vans. He might have like shoes with a little bit more sole in them. He's skinny. Like, I could dip my shoulder. I think I'd move him back. For him to be as good as he is at that size is outrageous. Albert towered over him.
Yeah, I was legitimately looking down on him and that shocked me. Yeah, so, but yeah, we definitely want to give him some credit. The one thing I did want to say about the AJ, going back to the AJ thing, it did feel like he knew exactly what the moment was. And there was a lot of adrenaline pumping.
Yeah.
And like, I'm the number one pick going against the number two pick. I want to put on a show. The dunk that he had, a lot of emotion coming out.
The hard foul on Darren. He like tweaked something. He was just trying to foul him. It wasn't really a hard foul. It was an intentional foul.
Just wrapped him up.
Right. I think the fans made it more than what it actually was. But I think overall, there was an adrenaline piece to this where it kind of became more of an exhibition than a basketball game. So that kind of skewed things a little bit. And so,
which isn't uncommon with that first showcase game.
Exactly.
Like, we kind of saw that a little bit with like Cooper last year. And like, whenever the top pick comes out, like with Wimby, like this was a circus and he struggled that opening game and then came back. And it's like, AJ was still awesome despite some of these nitpicks that we've had with it.
There's been a long history of like bad first games for these number one picks. So, and if anything, I was like, hey, Jazz fans and Wizards fans should be pumped.
Right.
Like, you got that out of the way. And like, AJ looked great, but there's still so much growth for his game.
Yeah.
I think Darren was going to have one of these games where it was kind of like, all right, we came back down to earth a little bit. You know, people were trying to say like, hey, is he going to be MVP after Salt Lake City? I was like, okay, let's calm down a little. But look, we've been saying it all year, guys. Like, this class is that special, and I think we even haven't seen Boozer here yet. And all these guys have looked awesome. I can't wait to see Caleb Wilson.
Caleb hasn't played yet.
Yeah. So I say Boozer, Caleb. Like, this is going to be a special year, I think. And that's what we've been saying at No Ceilings all year.
Jack Hale.
But I think it's cool that like there's a clear rivalry brewing between AJ and Dak.
Yes.
I don't know if they dislike each other, but they definitely don't like each other.
Yeah, they're not friends.
It's the competitiveness of like,
There is a rivalry there, and I think that's important. And then I think that I'm sure that Cam and Caleb are boys. Like, they played on the same AAU team, but
they're wired different.
They're super competitive dudes. And it was clear, like, when you watch UNC versus Duke, that Caleb was like, hey, like, I know you guys are making me the fourth guy kind of on the periphery of this, this circle. And so, like, I'm going to go out and and bust Cam up. And so, like, I think that them brewing a kind of a rivalry, too, because Caleb takes everything personal. He's the guy who was taken right before him. So I think he's going to come out throughout his rookie year and try to, like, really play against the guys who were taken ahead of him. Like, he's wired like that. But I think it's good just from the perspective of them getting the most out of each other and really making sure that they all play up to each other's levels. That it's important that, like, Cam versus Caleb, Darren versus AJ was, like, the beginning of the Vegas Summer League matchup, because I think it set the tone in a right way.
I know we're kind of free-flowing right now. A quick question. Is it weird that I'm more excited for that game today than the other one?
No.
I feel like both the rosters, Caleb, I've been foaming at the mouth to see Caleb again since, like, he his season ended.
I can't wait to see him.
Yeah.
The Bulls are in the main gym today.
They've been in the small gyms for decades.
They've been in the pavilion.
They've
been in the pavilion. They got the call-up. So... You know, so seeing them back in here, little showtime. I'm so pumped for that, because that Memphis team too, outside of Chicago, and I'm excited to see Swain.
Yeah.
And Asenge, I want to get a close look. Is he really 7 feet tall now? Yeah. Like they've been reporting.
He's got to make up for last year. He's got some bad memories. He's got to get out of this.
Just
place.
A little.
Got to move forward.
A little hint, and Albert, I haven't told you yet, but there's going to be a new segment on our show where we look for the best poster of the week and we measure it on the Asenge scale. So so that is coming. So he's got a lot of ground to make up, and I hope he puts somebody on a poster to get it back.
The internet. You got to get it back.
But Memphis, Kareem Lopez.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
Walter Clayton's on Memphis now.
Oh, that's
it's okay. I get confused too, cuz did the rare rookie trade.
Right. So, yeah, getting to see it. I mean, that team is
stacked.
Just stacked, yeah.
Taylor Hendricks.
I like how Taylor Hendricks looked up. Yeah. Down, all like,
Cedric Howard, I don't know if he's playing. Yeah.
I would imagine he gets one.
I think
he probably got one. He probably gets one.
But the Bulls, like you said, Bulls. A lot of talent on that roster is still fun. Like, I like Toby Walker as a two-way guy. Like
Jalen Sellers, I saw him at the Big East tournament.
That cap loves him.
He was awesome at the Big East tournament. I'm not sure I've ever seen him pass, but like he will.
If you're getting buckets, you don't need to.
Yeah.
Look, do you like Trey Johnson?
Yeah. Easy. Walked right into that.
If you can. How many Treys can we talk about? But I'm excited for that game too. But going back to yesterday, can we just give a little bit of love? And this was, you know, same game. So let's just have a little Zubi Mahrez moment here. Mahrez was amazing, man.
He was so good.
He looked slimmed down to me a little bit.
A little bit?
At the combine, I told Metcalf, I said he weighed in at that, and he looked so cut up.
Yeah, he looked way more defined than when I saw him his freshman year with Illinois. Illinois, he was like a cinder block.
Yeah, and he's still is.
Scary.
He still is.
He's just scary if he adds more. Like,
even more sculpted.
Yeah. I want him. I mean, just naturally as he gets older, he'll put on more weight, but I want him to be this. Just like Cam looked a little
bit. Yeah.
Because these guys are already so strong that they don't need to.
But these are two guys who they're going to be fours at the next level. And like, we know how good their footwork is. We know how good their lateral agility is. And just dropping like 5-10 pounds max while still maintaining that strength makes that switchability that they've shown throughout their career so far on defense all the more valuable, and really makes that scaling down to like the four way more feasible than being an undersized big.
Yeah, but it just, the thing is, like Mahrez, and I think Zubi too, but Mahrez is just like a little bit bigger, like inch taller, inch more length.
Yeah,
but same principle, like they're both gonna also play five, but they're all also strong enough to do that.
Yeah,
you know, but full time, I agree with you. I think they're going to be fours, but Mahrez did a lot of the five stuff really well. There was a stark difference in his big man performance, in my opinion, versus like V-Sars.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, like, boy.
I thought V-Sar was really bad yesterday.
Yeah.
Struggled so far.
I think people will focus on the couple threes that he hit and be like, hey, look, he's doing the thing, but he was soft. Like, he played a really soft brand of basketball yesterday that was not
a spot on. Like, he's got to be a specialist. And going back to Arizona, I was like, hey, he you can use him in spurts. You can't lean on him heavy. And he's got, NBA-wise, I think he's got to be like, hey, we're going to bring him out to be a pick and pop, like, sprays the floor. He's got to figure out how to stick on the floor because he can quickly get exposed.
Yeah.
Like, if all he's doing is shooting threes, yeah. then, like,
yeah.
just go get somebody else who's a better three-pointer.
Yeah.
like,
yeah.
But going back to Merez, like, Merez guarding ball screens, like,
yeah.
the versatility of him being able to switch it or whatever, or play the cat and mouse in a drop, it's like night and day. And then, you know, Merez and Zubi have both clearly been given the green light, like,
shoot,
let it fly.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
don't care about the results.
And I love that there's zero hesitation from either of those guys.
Yes.
Like, there's a lot of just, like, re-pivoting like, back into a
book. Like Paris Reed,
the other way.
Paris Reed took 1-3 yesterday, yeah. and I thought he had an opportunity to take a couple. And he's been really good in the entirety of the Summer League, Terrace. But there are a couple of moments where, personally, having been in and seen him shoot, I'm like, yo, what are you working?
Yeah, right.
What are you working on? Like, shoot it. Like, I know you can shoot. Like, this is the setting for them. Like, you're not going to get that leeway in the regular games unless you prove it, like, in these settings first. So, like, with Merez and Zubi, I'm excited that they can shoot. And, you know, I read the report that the Hawks front office were so stoked about Zubi's shooting after he hit 3 threes in one of the Summer League games. Like, they turned to his family and they were like, he can effing shoot. Like, so, like,
he was tossing dudes around.
Yeah.
That dude is, like, grown man.
Yeah.
He beat dudes down the floor, like, out hustled them a couple of times.
Which makes that Kentucky game from him all the more bewildering with what Quaytes did to him.
Of course, like, well, all it does is it shows you that, like, Quaytes, when he was on the floor and healthy, he could have the potential to be a freak.
Right.
Here's my only observation with Quaytes. I saw a picture of him on the floor with the team. He was, like, in slide.
Yeah, I saw that.
I just saw his foot, and I was like, what is that? Like, his foot, like, was hanging off of the front of the slides, and it looked like a shark fin or something. So I was like, I don't know if we need to take care of this for instead of the knees. I don't know if this might be connected.
Shark fin.
I don't know what it was. It was crazy looking. We've been talking about feet a lot this trip, boys.
A lot of feet stuff.
But the footwork from these guys defensively, yeah, like, the versatility.
Yeah.
Like,
plus the strength, plus the feel, plus the,
yeah, the
processing speed.
Merez didn't make any, like, brilliant passes that you were like, Jokic!
Yeah.
But he was making reads.
Yeah, and, like, you know, there's, like, a lot of versatility out of the short roll. Like,
right.
Some, like,
those
catch in space to, like, a spin dribble, like, floater.
The push shots. Yeah, like, really soft
side.
There are a couple times I did want him to go up strong and just try to dunk it, but
I think the awareness on the court with both of those guys is, like, what I love about them as prospects. Like, awareness of their games, too. Like, Merez knows he's not a flashy playmaker. He knows he doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
Zubi knows he's a little undersized, but he also knows he can do so many good things on the court. Right. So I love when Atlanta took him, and watching him with Kingston, Fleming's kind of have the two-man game and throughout all summer league. They're exactly what Atlanta needs to start getting, like, all right, let's get this roster really cooking.
I think the Kingston point's a really good one.
Yeah.
Because watching him yesterday, he had, like, what, 8 assists? But even the non-assists, he had these, like, really nice touch passes with, like, really nice feel and timing on them. And I feel like you really need that from Kingston, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to have some of his limitations. He hit a nice, like, step back three, too, which is nice to watch. But my only thing with Kingston was I felt like, some of his drives, I felt like he could have been more direct.
And there's a lot of driving to create.
Yeah, a little dilly-dallying too. And, like, you didn't feel like he was aggressive, but then the second half, he looked a lot better.
Yeah.
So maybe it was just, like, nerves, adrenaline, whatever.
He gets a little cute on the drives.
Right.
Trying to focus on trying to find a pass, which is a good problem to have starting out.
But in that game, like, the Spurs were throwing Carter Bryant on him on every possession. And we saw how good of a defender Carter Bryant was all year in the finals. And he couldn't stay in front of Kingston. Kingston was blowing past him every single time. And now that's a tough cover for Carter Bryant.
He's
a big dude. Like,
no doubt.
Basically, like, a four. It's kind of a three. Yeah. So, like, it's a tough cover for him. So not trying to dog Carter, but it's more so of, like, oh, my God, like, in person, like, the speed pops on tape, but seeing it in person, like that quick first step, the ability to get to the middle of the floor and do whatever he wants from there, it's like, man, all the shot has to do is be like average.
Right.
And that superpower is always going to be.
I'm not worried about the shot at all. Like,
no, it's the volume, though.
When it might even be better than average.
I
saw him during the season against Arkansas, I was like, oh man, it looks super funky.
Yeah.
But every shot went in like during warm-ups. So, yeah. I was like, I don't know.
Combine, same thing.
Yeah.
But the more I watched the tape and went back to it, and the more my eyes got used to it, I was kind of just like, I didn't focus on it at all.
Yeah.
It was similar to my feeling with Halliburton coming out.
Yeah.
I underrated Halliburton.
Me too.
But my concern with him was like, oh, like, is the handle tight enough and creative enough to like consistently get to his spots and this and that? Like, you don't have to worry about that with Kingston because his speed is so much different than like Halliburton. Halliburton obviously better, I think, size, like length. Yeah. But like, I think that they could be on like very similar trajectories early on in their careers, and I think Kingston could have that kind of early Halliburton impact where you can get really excited about it. But I do think, and this is dating back to his time last year, there were games where he went for 40, and there were games where he had 6 points. For him, the big thing is going to be, I have to balance this in a way in which I'm not so hot and cold, where I can get to 15 consistently, because that's going to make him better as a playmaker.
Yeah. But he's also going into a system kind of like what he had at Houston, where there are other ball handlers, where it's not going to be like, hey, Kingston, here are the keys. Like, drive all you want. It's like, oh, doesn't have it tonight. Cool. Well, CJ McCollum's here. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Dyson Daniels. Like, there are other guys to kind of insulate that on some of those off nights and hopefully, you know, make that transition for him even easier, just like we saw from him at Houston.
I think Corey's spot on too, because like, I love Kingston, I still do. I think what he's doing early on with like the playmaking and taking care of the ball is such a loud development.
He's got 18 assists to 3 turnovers,
which is awesome, because you usually don't see that even at summer league. Like, that stuff does matter. It's when so you're sloppy. Point guard,
it's so sloppy.
If you can take care of the ball, it's very loud. The game will come around shooting wise, but Corey's spot on, like, him getting more consistency with the scoring output, that takes his upside to another level. But like, if it's going to be so hot and cold, it's like, okay, you're going to have to kind of deal with what you got. But there was times last year I saw him in person where he didn't have it fall on shooting wise. He was still awesome as a playmaker.
He still impacts. But it's like, it takes you from like, can you be a really good player to like, can you be a star?
Yes.
You know,
and that's what he's going to have to answer. Yeah. I think if he could take care of the ball and really be an impactful rookie as a point guard, then I'll be like, oh gosh, we'll get the scoring down. We'll figure out the shot and stuff. That's where you get the year two leap. But I completely agree. He's had a great start so far.
Becca, what do you think of Rocco Zakarski?
Yeah, we can go to that game.
We'll be right back.
He's big.
Yeah.
The corner three looked good.
Done.
Okay, better. How about Berenger?
Berenger looked awesome. He looked like he's going to be able to handle 15 minutes a night and like that backup center role. The way that he moves and like the amount of, like, he's still really skinny, but the amount of muscle that he added from like this time last year to now looks like a totally different dude. And they're working on like a lot of like really fun like ball handling stuff and like DHO keeper short roll transition stuff with him. So the way that the game is like processing for him is so much slower than it was last year too, because he was so chaotic and he just feels way, way ahead of schedule.
Albert, you said to Metcalf yesterday, I like the way he moves. Didn't you?
Berenger, yes.
Expand on that.
Hmm. So I even just watching Tatum just now at like 6'9", 6'10", like, I was like, it's pretty special to see how they can move. And
it's like me. Yeah, I move a very similar way at that height.
You forget how big they are. Typically, like with like 7-footers, you're like, oh man, he's like 7 feet.
Yeah.
And then there are a handful where you're like, oh crap, I forgot he was 7 feet.
When Berenger runs and when he moves laterally, it doesn't feel unnatural. And it also makes you think like, I'm not watching a tall guy.
Yeah.
I'm just watching a normal person move fluidly side to side and up and down the court. And I think that's something I look for a lot in bigs, and Berenger having that is a very exciting thing for me, because I think it's just rare to be that fluid at that size.
Well, it's that soccer background. That's where the footwork comes from. Right. I see that with a lot of European guys. And
we call it football.
The World Cup.
It's called not soccer.
This country. So I guess
now it's football again.
We call it footy.
What do they call it in Belgium?
What else we got?
Sikorsky was gone. Not ready.
One thing I wanted to say.
Whole show's messed up now because Metcalf
gets the card. I thought De La Rea looked interesting. Yeah. I think there was some, like, he's
that needs a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all thought that, like, this jumper was kind of what it is, but some of the play
about
stuff,
me. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Some of the playmaking stuff, the size is real.
Yeah.
You see him on the court, he's huge. He's legitimately 6'6", so it's like, that's nice. And it's like, there's parts of his game that are kind of funky to watch, and sometimes we could be scared of different, but it looked good to me.
Yeah, he's interesting.
Like, you can just immediately see how high the feel is.
Yeah.
Like, with his off-ball movement, the quick decision-making, the playmaking reads. I thought the team defense was good.
Yeah.
On-ball is a different story, but that's a different problem for a different day.
What about the... I mean, we didn't get to see... Or you might have seen more of it, because we left, I think, at halftime of the Wolves game, but the Kobe Bufkin renaissance?
He looked good. I mean, just... Can't stay healthy. He's still
22.
He's never been back. Never been more back.
30 points.
We loved Bufkin that year.
Yeah, I had a lottery grade on
him.
I got him up on my wall. White keeps asking me to take it down. I'm like, no.
Like, he's one of these guys who could potentially be on, like, that Nikhil Alexander Walker type of route, where it's like,
that's a
man, like, this former lottery pick or top 20 pick just looks like he's going to bust out, but keeps grinding, finds a way to stay healthy, and just needs to land in the right situation. So, hoping, but... He looked good yesterday.
Yeah.
He looked good in summer league in the past, though, too. So hopefully he continues to build on it and finds his place. You guys didn't catch any Pistons 76ers, did you?
I went in the gym for, like, 2 minutes. I didn't see much. I just wanted to see, like, if Akori and Phylon were on the floor.
I didn't see it. Akori was underwhelming. I only caught bits of it, but did a couple really nice drives, but... kind of invisible. Phylon in person, man, like, that, his handle is so nasty. He has that ball on a string. He's skinny, but, like, contact and physicality doesn't really bother him. He plays through it, keeps the dribble alive. I was really, really impressed with him. And then, you know, Isaac Johnson just, you know, splashing threes all over them.
Yeah. Shout out Hawaii. Was that all the games that we watched? I mean, basically yesterday, we watched a little bit of the Kings.
Yeah,
yes.
Kings Clippers.
Yeah, so basically, since yesterday was day one in Vegas, AJ and Darren, you basically have to, like, reserve your seats.
Yeah.
And even though we're in the media section, you still don't want to risk getting up and losing those seats, even though, like, our stuff is there. So, you know, we didn't do a lot of venturing off into the other gym, so we basically focused on the main gym, we watched the first half.
Yeah, we got the first half
of Sacramento and the Clippers.
Yeah.
So, Acuff, I thought there were, like, some of the shots he made were really encouraging because they looked like star shots.
Yeah.
He also took some pretty tough looks and questionable, like, they looked a little more like IMG Acuff.
Yeah.
At times. Everyone knows I always say that Caravan looks great, so we could breeze over him. Wogler, he barely had the ball when we were
there. Yeah, he was in pissed.
It was the Norchad Omir show.
Yeah, like, Kobe Sanders looked really good, and Wogler was almost like an afterthought. The only, like, top pick who kind of experienced that yesterday.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. Do not overreact to these summer league games out there. This is a pan to the camera. Because I saw a lot of it on draft Twitter. Like, you can't overreact. Super good, super bad, either direction. Don't get too high, don't get too low.
The ball floor generals, the point guards. Yeah. Like, different speed. It's like Wogler, everyone was ready to be like, oh, this is the worst pick of the draft. And I was like,
and at least in the first half, they were forcing the ball out of his hands.
Yeah,
the goal was to get the ball out of his hand. So, like, yeah, he could force the issue and try to jack up shots.
But he's not that kind of player.
And then he'll shoot 30%, and people will be like, oh, he's a chucker.
Right.
So it's like one of those, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't situations where it's like you try to play the game and you only get seven shots up. don't overreact.
Yeah.
Is what I would say with him.
Yeah. Well said.
So the last guy that we kind of accidentally glossed over when we were
John Pulikidis.
When we were talking about Merez, well, we can go to Pulikidis, but Yaxel Lundberg had an.
Yeah, Yaxel.
It was just everything we saw from him at Michigan this year, where he just picked his spots. He did a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and ended up with like the most casual 27-0 game that you see out of anyone here.
It's just been easy for him all summer league long, like California Classic. It just seems like he still looks just like,
It's been easy for him since he got to Michigan.
And then it's going to be easy for him when he gets to the Warriors. Like, I know who's going to be rookie of the year watch. Yax is going to be a guy we're going to be talking about like all year. It's like he's on the ladder. He's in the top five because he's going to fit
first
that system. He's going to fit that system like a glove. He's going to fit that team. He's going to be a hit the ground running.
For the fantasy basketball sickos, one of the top guys.
Oh, for sure he should be.
Yeah,
everybody likes to talk about how old he is. Yeah. The thing that sticks out to me about Yaxel, every time I watch him, he looks like he's getting better.
Yes.
He's growing. He's learning something.
Late bloomer.
Exactly. And so even watching him yesterday, he was so ready for that stage and for this level of basketball, and he looked great.
But here's the thing. Like, he never forces the issue.
Yeah.
Ever. He makes a right play every single time. Like,
it would be easy for him to start forcing it.
I almost want to see him force the issue a little bit as he develops because, like, he is like the consummate role player. And Albert, yesterday you asked me like, who is he in the league? And I was like, I don't know. He could be OG Anunoby, right? Like,
that's a fun one.
He might potentially be able to reach a higher peak because I think he's a better passer.
I think we're the collective universal. We are underrating what his ceiling could be just because we see the age. He's like, oh, he's old. This is what he is. It's like,
He's so much more valuable than I think. Like, I love him, and I still always am like, if this one hits, though, it's different than every other team trying to find this one. Because also, like, every time I see him in person, I'm always like, gosh, he's gigantic.
Yeah.
For that type of player, that versatility, he's 6'10", 240.
In his
Twitter
bio, it says 6'10".
Yeah.
He's rounded up.
So, I mean, he's huge. He's got the versatility. Like, I even back in the day, I was like, I feel like he's a 6'10 Dylan Brooks. And I'm like, I don't even think that's, like, rewarding enough because of the passing, the playmaking. And that's no slander to Dylan Brooks. But Yax just rocks. He's good.
Yeah.
6'10 Derek White.
Derek White. There you go. 6'10.
Wow.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
A lot of money if you're 6'10 Derek White. A lot of money in your future.
Which he's going to need because it's very expensive in the Bay.
And apologies to Hornets and Magic fans. We didn't get over to that one because AJ Darren was going on. But I think that's where we're going to wrap it because we got Bucks Heat about to tip off. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be hitting you guys' feed all weekend. Until then, he is Albert Gibb. He is Corey Tolba. He is Tyler Rucker. I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can find all our stuff at NoCeilingsNBA.com. If you enjoyed this episode, rate, review, subscribe, 5 stars, all that good stuff. Till next time, see ya.